by the help of the Lord. Why don't you stand with me for the reading of the Word of the Lord? I've read these Scriptures over and over. I don't know if I've ever really took this subject for a text, but I felt the Holy Ghost deal with me, and I want to obey Him. Judges chapter number 5. Very familiar Scripture. Judges chapter number 5. I pray we can get past this quiet mode here and get right into this service and let the Lord help us. Judges chapter number 5, verse 24. When you found your place, say amen. Blessed above women shall Jael, the wife of Heber, the Kenite, be. Blessed shall she be above women in the tent. And he asked water, and she gave him milk. She brought forth butter in a lordly dish. She put her hand to the nail, and her right hand to the workman's hammer. And with the hammer she smote Sisera, and she smote off his head. And when she had pierced and stricken through his temples, at her feet he bowed. He fell, he lied down, and at her feet he bowed. He fell where he bowed. There he fell down dead. The mother of Sisera said, looked out at the window and cried through the lattice, "Why is his chariot so long in coming? And why tarry the wheels of his chariot?" The Lord help me. I want to preach due to the respect of this day. I want to preach what I felt like God whispered to me. I want to preach on when fathers don't come home. When fathers don't come home. Set your hands this way one more time and ask God to help us. Father, in the name of Jesus, I come before you. I honor you, I love you, and I praise you. And I'm asking for the help of the Lord right now in the name of Jesus. I'm asking for the Spirit of God to speak to our hearts. Speak to our lives, O God, this day. Anoint us and use us for this hour. Father, I'll give you the praise, the honor, and the glory for what you're able to do and what you're going to do in this service. Move on this altar, I pray, and we'll give you the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Just a short list of history here. I have searched and tried to find every bit of the information about this man named Sisera. But I could not obtain any relationship whatsoever. As in to find if he had a child or to find if he had a wife. I've searched and tried and pulled through different commentaries and was not able to obtain to it at all. But I do have this one part right here, that there was a mother was wondering where he was. The Bible declares unto us that he was a captain in an army. And everybody here knows the story about this man, that how he had raised war so long with the children of Israel. And how he fought them so vehemently and tried his best to destroy and to annihilate the entire army of Israel. And he had literally ruled them with, I can't remember, it was either 400 or was it 200 chariots of iron. I can't remember exactly what the number was, but he railed upon them and he tried his best to make them become subject unto him and his army of fear. But you know as well as I do, there come a day when God's vengeance was greater against this army than they were for anything else. He was out to stop him from making havoc of the children of God. Can I say this right here? And though it may be a little bit tight in this building right now, can I tell you that God has a way of stopping everyone of his enemies? God's got a way of stopping everybody that fights against the way of God. He knows how to win the battle. He is a man of war. But can I tell you, sir, if I was in this building this morning and I was even contemplating on the thought of fighting against God or fighting against the Holy Ghost and what he wanted out of my life, I tell you, I'd be a fool to stand here and try to declare that I could win against the Almighty. Can I tell you that nobody has ever went against him and won? Nobody has ever fought against him and succeeded? I want to tell you, sir, sin, it falls at his feet. He becomes a master and a conqueror of every sin nature and of every sinner. I mean, you may not accept it well now, but nobody in their right mind would want to fight against God. It takes a fool to think he can win against the Lord. It takes an outright ignorant man to think that the pressures of sin is greater than the riches of heaven. I tell you, in this house, the long, lasting riches of God's goodness and greatness is far better than a million nights in the camp of the wicked. I'd rather toil through sleepless nights. I'd rather fight through pain and anguish than I had to lose my inheritance. There is a responsibility that must be reckoned with in this text here. And that is that there is a man who fails to reckon with a God. Hallelujah. Can I tell you, sir, whether in this life or in the life to come, you will have to answer to God. You will have to say yes to him. You will one day. What you will not submit to now and what you will not say yes to today, there will come a day when you will literally bow your head and declare he was right. He is right. Oh, stay with me just a minute. Whether it be soldiers that were vehemently angry at Christ, angry at him, though plagued with garments, and though mocked him to scorn, but when the world shook and the ground opened up, they realized he was the Son of God. I want to tell you, sir, there's a day coming when God will shake your world and let you know he is God. The sadness to this story is that there was a king who warred and who fought, who sought to try to kill and to destroy. But in the midst of all of this, stay with me, please. In the midst of it, there was a man who did not care for God nor for anybody else. Sisera, he was not interested, but in the battlement of warfare, he wanted to be the captain as he was. He wanted to go down in history as being the greatest warrior. He wanted to go down with the flags and all the honor and the praise. There's nothing wrong with glory and honor. But when honor disrupts your nature, and when it disrupts your thinking, when prestige and power takes and changes your attitude and strips you down, I want to tell you, sir,
that there is something that's going to take place, that's going to get your attention. I tell you, I'd rather be pulled by a preacher than I have to be pulled by hell. Are you hearing me in this house? I'd rather be pulled by a preacher that loves my soul than I have to be pulled by the hand of hell that wants to destroy my life.
The battle. I've got to get to my subject here. The battle waxed on. Fear got inside of the eyes of Sisera. He could not see the victory that he anticipated. So the Bible declares, let me just preach this right here, that the battle went sore against him. And he said he lighted down off his chariot. I tell you, sir, I felt the Holy Ghost this morning, and I want to talk to you about it. There'll come a day when the hand of wickedness will reach its peak in your life. And there'll come a day when the bitterness of sin will no longer become a taunting force. It'll become a grabbing force. Oh, can I tell you, sir? I want you to understand the state of this man. I want you to understand where he was at. His horse wasn't fast enough for the fear that was driving him. Did you hear me? I'm going to tell you, sir, there will come a day when every bit of the pleasure that you trusted in will become not fast enough to quiet the fear of your soul and find the torment of your mind. Oh, that God would help me preach. I want to talk to you today that there is a place where you all come back to. There is a place that sin will take you to where you can't come out of it. There is a place. I would to God, I could say what I feel right here. There is a place where pleasure will not only become an enticing force, but it'll become a trap. And in that trap, it binds with chains and cords of iniquity that'll hold your soul forever, that it'll not be loosened by just one mere hoping of a dream, that I shall come out of it. But can I tell you, sir, that the trap of sin is for real. It's a real life, actual happening. Any man that feels he can master the art of sin and can overcome sin and can just play it off as being as nothing, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper. But he that confesses his sin shall obtain mercy. How do I get out of the sin business? How do I get away from the struggle of it? Confess it and tell God, I'm a daddy in trouble. I'm a man that needs help. I'm a man that's got to have a deliverance. Hear me in this house. Since blinding traps are so deceptive. They lie. They promise such great things, but never fulfill one ounce of their pleasure. Have you ever been there? Stay with me, please. You ever been there when the enemy's lied to you and told you you could get by? Nobody will ever know. Nobody will ever see it. Nobody will ever know what you've done. Nobody will ever know what you said. Nobody will ever know that when I was around my buddies, I cussed just like they cussed. Nobody knows it, but there is somebody that knows it. There is somebody that knows it. I know him, and he knows me. I felt like the Holy Ghost spoke to me and said, today, I'm talking about all day yesterday. It rolled in my mind as I was traveling down the interstate. God kept dealing with me over and over. He said, there is fathers that leave and never come home. I began to ponder in my mind. I said, God, what in the world can I put with that thought? And then began to deal with me. He said, sister, he went out to battle, but his mother never saw him come home. Oh, what's the tragedy to sin? It's not what you're doing. It's where you ain't gonna come from. Oh, you'll die there. You'll stay there. Sin's a murder. You know my mama called fire. I said it is a murder. And it'll kill you. You can't win. Sin lies. When the man laid on the hospital bed, when R.G. Lee preached that sermon 1,800 times, payday someday, when he told the story, sitting in his office at Bellevue Baptist Church in Memphis, Tennessee, he told the story of how on his radio broadcast he would preach the gospel. And he said there would be another man that would come on behind him. And the title of his program was, he was the king of the kangaroo court. And said he would just call R.G. Lee's office and make havoc in them, send him letters and all kinds of other stuff, and just tell him he'd never sign his name. Oh, come on, would you look at me now? I'm going to tell you right now what I feel like preaching. Adultery's not the name of that real sin. It's just the character of it. Are you understanding? I'll tell you what's under the name of adultery: misery, shame, heartache, and pain. I'm telling you, that's the name of it. Are you able to hear me in this house? You can disillusion it and flush it out of your mind. But there is a place where sin won't let you come home. Sin will kill you in another land. The day came. R.G. Lee was sitting in his office. You've heard the story. You've heard the sermon. Read the book. Sat there. He said his phone rang. He said it was the local hospital. He said he called. They called and said, is this R.G. Lee? He said, yes, it is. He said, there is a man here in the hospital that would like to see you. And he said, who is he? He said, he won't give us his name, but he's requested your presence. And he said, well, who is he? He said, to tell you, you'd know him. He said, he's the king of the kangaroo court. He said, yeah. He said, where is he at? Told him what ward he was in and what bed he was in. I want to talk to you just a minute here. I plan to be over here in just a few minutes. It said when he got there, he looked down at a man frail and dying. He looked down in his face, and he said, the man smiled back. He said, Mr. Lee, he said, I am the king of the kangaroo court. Oh, you understand the terminology. It's sin, sin, trifling fun. It's the pleasure of sin. It's the place where sin promises but never fulfills. At the end of the story, R.G. Lee said that the king of the kangaroo court said, he said, tell your listeners and tell every one of them that the devil pays in counterfeit money. I want to tell you that the dark chasing is counterfeit. It ain't going to satisfy. It ain't
gonna keep you. The only thing that'll keep you is the blood of Jesus. The grace of God. The mercy of God. The hand of God. Amen. That's right.
It's a facade. It's a make-believe world. It's the penthouse of sin. The pleasure palace. It paints with pictures of color. Such great, enticing ways. But behind the cabinets, it's all invisible paint. No man can see the previous picture. All he looks at is a ruin and a shame and a disgrace. Has the man fallen in adultery? Has the drug addict? They're not really remembering the high. All they see is the life that they're now addicted to. They can't break it. They can't stop it. It's out of control. I'm going to tell you something. If I meet God in judgment today, I plan to go saved. Are you understanding me? But I felt the Holy Ghost lie down on me. There's going to come a day, sir, that the horse that you're wanting to run on will not run fast enough to get you out of the misery that you're headed to. When does a man trade a four-footed running beast for 2 feet to think that he can outrun misery? You see, the highlight of sin may be a night in the bar. It may be in the pleasure of another bed, of an unfamiliar individual. It may be the height of another drug that you can't even stay awake and listen to me. Are you hearing me? It may be the height of another pleasure, but be it known to you that that pleasure only lives in short rows. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can I be a little plain right here? Can I be a little plain right here? All of you young ladies that ain't married and you young men that ain't married, it's better that the Bible said that you battle him in your youth than to be an old man and be stripped and buried under the pleasure and the plow of iniquity. Hear me, please. Watch 20 minutes. On the side of a highway. Watch 20 minutes in a strange bed. Watch $50 to a quick fix. What's the price of a 12 pack, a 24 pack, a fifth, a cart? It's pennies on long term payments of sin's misery. Hallelujah. Did you hear me? I said it's pennies paid on long-term payments of sin's misery. What frantic and what pain got a hold of Caesar when he looked around and he saw the battle that he anticipated to win with pleasure and to walk off with a great victory. He now sees it. He goes sore against him. He can't win. There's no way he can win. The battle's too far gone. The pleasure of victory is now nowhere in his mind. It's the ravishing thought, I better save my life while I can. I better do something to keep myself. He then forgets about his army. Well, come on. He forgets about his army. He forgets about his palace. He forgets about his dreams. I feel like preaching. If I don't ever preach another message, I'm going to tell you there'll come a day when everything that's enticing you now will be forgotten. It'll be gone. It'll be over. You'll not remember it no more. Are you hearing me, please? Everything that you'll lay awake and sleep the sleepless nights and ponder in your heart and long for the pleasure of and long for the dreaming of and everything that you will literally anticipate and could almost feel the height of the pleasure of it in the state of panic. Sister, I don't care for I just got to stay alive. Oh, if Barak finds me, he'll have no mercy. He'll kill me. Are you in hearing me, are you? When Barak was running after him, the Bible said he let down off his sled and he started running on foot. I want to tell you something. You may trade your ride, but you'll never outrun time. When God gets after you, you can't. Help me, Jesus. Come to the piano. This day, I tell thee, I know you. I see what's in your heart. I hear you, but your heart is not following your voice. I say unto thee, search yourself. Look at yourself. For I tell thee, saith God, there is paths that men have taken and never returned. I say unto thee, avoid the path of destruction, saith the Lord. Stand with me. Avoid it. I didn't come to preach long today. I come to hit the point. Won't you stay with me? I'm here to tell somebody in this building, there is a place when fathers don't come home. I want you to hear me in this house. The Bible declares that he led off his horse, his chariot, and he took off a running. Stay here, please. Took off running. And when he got to where he felt safety, Jael saw him a running. Customary. She opened the tent door and said, come in, turn in here. She knew he was an enemy. It was already foreprophesied that the battle would be given to a woman. And it wasn't for her to be called into any ministry. It was because there was a weakness of a man. Don't add to that Bible. Are you hearing me? But then all of a sudden, he ran in. And when he got in there, he said, give me a drink of water. And she in turn gave him milk. And she gave him butter in a lordly dish. I jotted this down because I feel like I need to say it. The tragedy to Caesarea was he saw the milk, but he couldn't see the nail. Did you hear me? He saw the milk, but he couldn't see the nail. Ain't it like you? All you can see is the pleasure of your will. But you can't see the heartache that's going to come behind it. There's a price to drinking that milk and eating that butter. Oh, God. Oh, God. Help me while I hurry, Lord. Many are tempted the same as he was, blinded by sin. Where does it start from? Let no man say that I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with sin, neither tempt he any man. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away and enticed of his own lust. Hallelujah. But the difference between, are you listening to me? Don't make me say anything. But when he turns and he looks, he sees only the milk. He cannot behold the mystery. I'm in the wrong tent. I thought I was running to safety. Every Bible reader in here will know. Chapter 4 declares that he gives unto her the order. He says, go stand at the door, at the tent. He says, if any man come and say that, is he here? He said, tell them no. He's not here. And the Bible said he fell fast asleep. And while he was asleep, come here. And while he was asleep, she came softly unto him. And he was so engrossed in sleep, he never felt the point when it touched his temple. And the Bible said that she drove that stake through his temples and fastened him to the ground. And then she ran out and she saw Barak coming. And she ran out and said, he's in here. He's in here. I want to ask you a question. When sin gets done, where will we find you? Is this going to be treated as it's always been treated? Another warning, another message on Father's Day. Father, you're going to go out and you may never come home. Oh, God. Job said, thou knowest. He said, thou countest my steps. Understand? Understand? He said, you count them. I'm going home. I'm going to go home. I hear you. I'm going to go home. I tell you, the heartbreaking of this entire sermon. Are you listening to me? The heartbreak of it is, it's the shame of his folly. But there's a mother. There's a wife. There's a daughter. Some children. Who's screaming? Why ain't Daddy coming home? Where is he? Why is the chariot? Where's his chariot at? And then that little mother says, why does his wheels, why are they lingering? Why ain't they coming? The next verse tells, I believe it's verse 29. It said, did they not divide unto them their spoils, their colors? She thought he was out gathering the harvest from a battle. But instead, he's laying in a tent with a spike drove through his temples. That's what sin will do to you. It'll drive a spike through your temples. It'll destroy your soul. I know it. I know it. This is Father's Day. I should be preaching something else. But what better news to the house if Daddy decided to go home? What better news to the house if Daddy decided we're going to stay together? We're going to let that battle die out yonder. I'm not getting involved in that battle. So I feel the Holy Ghost here. I do not mean to pick on this or to say it, but whether it's the battle of pleasure, the lust of money, the lust of women, the lust of pleasure. Why do I use the word lust? Because the Bible declares in John that everything that I seize is the lust of the flesh. So label it however you want to. It's something that's taunting you to death. And the only way to get rid of it is go home. Sisera, when you lit off your horse and chariot, you ran the wrong direction. He was in such a state of panic, he couldn't tell which way he was going. Mama, you want to help me here? Huh? I remember Daddy. When my brother Larry, your son, got killed June the 7th, 1980. I remember when we pulled in at 407 Murphy Drive. Brendan Glenn's house. I remember when they broke the news. I know you do. I remember standing in the living room. You hear me? I remember watching my daddy grab that little 4'11" woman. I watched my brother William, my Uncle Glenn, and some more of my uncles around there. When they told her, Larry has been killed. Tell me, am I right? Your mind went in such a rage. He was over 1,000 miles away from us. But Daddy, I remember this plain as the sun shining outside. She ran toward that front door. She said, I got to get to my baby. You see, when you're in a rage, you can't think. Had not they been there to hold her, she'd have ran out that front door. You know what Sister's problem was? There wasn't nobody there to tell him you're running the wrong direction. So what's the joy of having a preacher telling you you're heading in the wrong direction? You're going the wrong way. And if you don't turn around while you can, if you don't stop while you're able, we'll read it. Fathers, don't come home. I'm finished. Forty minutes of pleading. I think it's good enough. No sense of disguising it. You've already let off your horse and chariot. You're running on foot. But you're headed in the wrong direction. But when you get there, I promise you, there's going to be somebody. Somebody is going to bear the news. Sister, he won't be home, Mama. He won't come home. I feel the Holy Ghost here. You hear me? You may go, but you may not come home. Not everybody that leaves comes home. You hear me? You say in your heart, what shall I do? How shall I do? What now shall I say? Yeah, I say unto thee, you have turned only but a little, but you have not turned completely over to me, saith God. And I tell thee this day, I come with mercy. I come with grace. I come with forgiveness. But I see in your heart, you're not ready to stop. But I say unto thee, I beckon, I call, and I plead. Come home. Come home, saith the Lord. This is it. I'm finished. Father, in the name of Jesus, I've done all I could do. I've said all I could say. I've used the story that you gave me. I came with only two little sticky notes, God, of what you gave me. I'm asking that you didn't multiply these little loaves. And I'm asking you to not let one individual walk out of this building unstirred, untouched. I can't make them come, Lord. But I know there's a pull in this building. There's a call in this house. I'm asking you to search right now in the name of Jesus. You're in this building. I want you to listen and look this way, and I'm done. This is the tragedy. If there's a tragedy to preaching, this is where it's at. You get to knowing somebody for so long, you think it's just him preaching to me. But the Lord told Samuel, hear me? When they rather have a king than they had the prophet, he said, don't weep. He said, because they didn't reject you, they rejected me. I want to tell you in this house, I want to tell you in this building, you're not turning me away because it's just Noah Phillips. Noah Phillips is preaching to you what God told me to preach to you. And the choice is yours. Which will you choose? Run in the wrong direction? Or come humbly to the throne of grace and say, Lord, search me. I've erred. I jumped off my chariot and took off a running. But I'm running in the wrong direction. There's things I said in preaching this morning. And no human in this world knows. But I touched where you was at. And the ear of the Lord heard every word. Does he know me? He knows me better than I know myself. And do you know what I like about him? You know what I like about him? I'm saved, you're saved. But he'll stop us to reach one individual on Father's Day. Hallelujah. That's what I like about him. I'll shout another service. Just reach for somebody's soul. Capture somebody, God. You know one of the tragedies, Brother Timmy, in this church? And I know y'all are newcomers. Look around. It looks like everybody's where they're supposed to be. But if they are, why the message? And why twice did the Holy Ghost speak, "I'm calling you today"? Because you know why? He sees in here where I can't see. And He calls me to come. You're in this building right now while she sings and they play. I ask you to come in the name of Jesus. I said it while I was preaching. I'd rather be pulled by a preacher than dragged by hell. I'd rather have a preacher hounding me to death, begging me to pray, than I had to have hell driving me slap into the vices of destruction. Everyone that will come to this altar.